The Word of God today, this weekend in our liturgy, I believe, well, can help us in so many ways in our meditation. But there is a pattern that we can find in all the three readings that were proclaimed. First reading, the prophet says, "Seek the Lord with a humble heart, not with a proud, but as humble, sincere, honest heart." Second reading, we hear Paul writing to the Corinthians saying, you know, God did not choose among you. No, this is like he's saying, look at you, the community. God did not chose the most intelligent, the most powerful. No, it was not that the reason that has chosen you. Like saying God would just select the best. Because in the eyes of God, there is no such thing. We do, you know, we classify and qualify and divide and say, oh, these are, you know, the average ones, those are the above average, those, you know, for God, he just calls. Because God is asking from us just to trust in him. And in the end, it is not, you know, he says, if you boast, if you say something, it's not your merit. It's God's merit. So that's why he's saying it doesn't matter if you are consider yourself or you are treated, you are seen as the greatest one. Because that for God, God is not impressed with that. And then we hear in the gospel, Jesus talking what we call the Sermon on the Mountain. That he goes, you know, seeing the crowd and his disciples, he go up the mountain, then he sits down and began to preach. You know, sitting down is a way of saying he's teaching something. That was the tradition. The teacher would sit down and the disciples would be around the teacher, sitting down as well and lower, but would be sitting down, the disciples, and listen to a master, to a teacher. So when Jesus says that he sat down and began to preach, he's teaching, you know, he's saying as the teacher. And the Sermon on the Mountain that we refer to is not only the Beatitudes, as it's called, this, what we heard, this portion of the Gospel. You know, it goes for like three chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. You know, it's just a series of teachings that the Lord is presenting to that crowd. And the teachings that Jesus says in the Beatitudes, it's like saying, is they are at the center, the very center of our faith. It's like saying we have in the commandments that Moses received in the desert and guaranteed that the people of God, the Israelites, the Hebrew people would be united and would be always have the identity of following one God because the commandments made them to be united. The same commandments that we follow, that are the commandments that are supposed to follow in our faith, the Beatitudes are, is another way of presenting that. In many situations, we might see that as a beautiful poetry and beautiful way of saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those, you know, the peacemakers, those who strive for righteousness. And we might say, wow, how blessed these people. You know, and we might be kind of sympathizing with these blessings. But it's in no way we should see this as just a stand back, a passive way, Jesus is saying, and we are, you know, awestruck and see how beautiful are his words. No. Those are commandments that Jesus is you know, challenges that Jesus is presenting that crowd. When he says blessed, I was reading, you know, as you know, the readings, and we try to read something, so what we say here is not only out of my mind, but at least we have some, you know, some backing in some more people who really go deep into the text and study that. And says the blessed, you know, going back to the Jesus' language, probably was the Aramaic when he was preaching that. It is a very active way, the verb. It's like saying, go forth, you know, to be peacemakers. Go forth and be by those who are mourning. Go forth and be by those who together with those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for the sake of righteousness. You know, go forth with them, those who are poor, and be with them. It's more a commandment than a way of being and admire those things. Why is this important in my understanding? It is important because it says our faith is not only listening to God's words. It's not only staying there in a passive way and say how beautiful your words are. They're like honey, sweet as honey. Yes, they are, but they are also, you know, strong as fire that should go and burn our hearts and should take us into the world. Example of that, yesterday, the big March for Life, you know that it happens in Washington, D.C. Way of going and expressing and telling the world, telling this country, and telling our legislators and those who are take care, saying that we believe in the sanctity, the sacredness of human life. And we believe in the culture of life. St. John Paul II used to talk in that way. You know, we should believe and promote a culture of life where no one is, you know, is left out. No one is forgotten. You know, and Pope Francis talks also that we might be tempted these days to fall into a throwaway culture. What is good, what is still, no, we keep. What is society or people say, oh, this is no good anymore, we just throw away. And that including people, children of God, created in God's own image and likeness. That's why we claim and we say the value of life, the sacredness of human life, from conception to natural death. There are indeed some encouraging signs in the horizon that are coming, but at the same time, some contradictory signs in the horizon that one side we defend life and the other side we might not do as well. So it's a challenge, and it's like Jesus is telling us, go forth and be a part of those who are believe in the righteousness, who believe in the sacredness of God's presence in our world. That life is valuable from the moment of conception. But and we do believe that many laws should be changed. But nothing will change, even if laws will be reversed, if the heart, there is no conversion in the heart. That heart is not changed. If this nation does not change the way of facing life and believing in life, we might have loss, but we still will not be honoring life as it should be. So we pray that the Lord will make us peacemakers, will make us go forth and as our identity, you know, promote the righteousness that we believe, the righteousness of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the righteousness that say that any life, life of the unborn, but life of the born, those who were born, the children, the forgotten, the poor, even the refugees, those lives yes, they are God's children as well. And we should not think that they value nothing in the world today. Believe today that we have so many, or a few here, some of them, our candidates for confirmation. That's the challenge they are going to face in the world. A world that more and more consider life as disposable. And we are called to be there, to go out there and say, no, it is not. Life is a God-given gift, and we should preserve that life, and we should honor that life, and we should respect, because in each person there is the spark of God, because each person is created in God's own image and likeness.